our Treaty 4 obligations. And I know that can be a fraught conversation here, and by here I mean Wesley, Regina, Canada, Saskatchewan. But even though it can be a fraught conversation, one thing we have to avoid is the sin of guilt. We're not here to feel guilty or anything like that. It's not about your guilt, because nobody here signed Treaty 4 or anything like that. But it's your responsibility. So it's not your fault, but it's your responsibility. And when we go into guilt, what we do is we make it about ourselves. And that's not what we need to do here. It's not about ourselves. We need to make it about our neighbors, which is what the Christian call is for us, so that we might become one in Christ. So as we attempt to do this, let us rise. So we're going to approach our teachings today in the lens of a covenant. Do you all know what a covenant is? Do you know what a covenant is? Do you know what a covenant is? Kind of, sort of, right, here, yeah. So a covenant is really an agreement. We make a covenant, and I'm going to say, I do something, and then you say, okay, I'm going to do something as well. And we both agree that when I do something, you do something. And when you do something, I do something. Does that kind of make sense? So a covenant's like an agreement, or a pact, or maybe even a treaty, right? So that's what a covenant is.
What about a promise?
A covenant, I think, has a two-way, has a two-way thing. Right, a promise. If I promise you something, that's a good question. And often the covenant in the Hebrew Bible seems more like a promise from God, but there is a covenant. And really what the covenant that the Hebrew people agreed to was the Torah, which of course is all the laws and rules from Leviticus and Exodus and all those things. So the idea of a covenant is that we agree that we're both going to do something. And so we have a promise of a covenant, which we have made, because we're a covenanted people. There was covenants, and I'm going to talk about this during the children's time, but there's covenants went back to Moses and Abraham and Noah even and David. And with Jesus, we say we have a new covenant. We say that we made a new covenant with Jesus, which is really to love our neighbor. And to love our neighbor, and to love God, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And there's covenant even happening today in the United Church of Canada. We are in covenant with Jesus through the United Church of Canada, through Living Skies Regional Council. And when I came here, however long ago that was, many years, it was we had a covenanting service where we covenant to serve God together. And so that's what we're trying to do today. And we'll see how that goes. So the one line you guys want to say is, in the promise of our covenant. You can see it up in there, yellow if you read. So in the promise of our covenant. So for those who are tired, may this sacred space be a place of rest.
In the promise of our covenant.
For those who are hurting, may this holy place be a place of healing. For those seeking answers to difficult questions, may this be a place where questions are accepted and wise, caring words are spoken. We come for different reasons. We come from different places. But here, we are all embraced by the same Spirit. Amen. Welcome home. This is your home. Doesn't matter how cold it is, this is your home. Doesn't matter what you believe or who you love, this is your home. Welcome home. My name is Reverend Cindy Bourgeois, and I'm honored to lead the worship here at West United Church on this Sunday morning. And as I've spoken, we're going to talk about treaty today, so let us now remember that we acknowledge that we are on Treaty 4 land. Because of September 15th in 1874 at Fort Capel, Treaty 4 was signed between the Cree Nation, the Soto Nation, and Her Majesty the Queen. And for time immemorial, the Plains Cree, the Soto, the Nakota, the Dakota, and the Lakota peoples have been on this land. And since contact, the Métis, a post-contact indigenous people with roots in the historic Red River community, have emerged to live on this land. And we are all treaty people, and we're going to talk about it a bit more later. So I'd like to thank Lee Stubb, our wonderful choir director, and our foursome fabulosos, our fabuloso foursome here. They're going to do sing a quartet anthem of some sorts, right?
Yep.
That's what I understand. And I blame anyone, creator of all that is, seen and unseen, of story and song, of heartbeat and of tears of bodies, souls, voices, and all relations. You are the way of all truth and the way of all reconciliation. Uphold with love and compassion all who open their lives to trust and loving forgiveness, that we may face our histories with courage. Touch us through the holy gift of story, that those who listen may behold our own redeeming presence. Guide us with holy wisdom to enter through the gates of remorse, that our feet may walk gently and firmly on the way of justice and healing. Now may we pray in the spirit of Jesus the Christ, as we say together, a noble mystery. We honor the presence of the Holy One. Amen. Never going to happen again. And you know, and so as a mark of that covenant, God gave us the rainbow. Our myths tell us that was the very first rainbow we ever had. So when you see a rainbow, remember the covenant we have with God. And then there is Abraham. Now this is many years later. And Abraham, God came to Abraham and said, I'm going through you to create a great people who are going to help us save the world, to make sure the world's a good place to live in. And they marked that covenant when Abraham went into a deep sleep one day. He went to this deep sleep and he had a vision. And he had a vision, and on this vision there came this, he was sitting there in the starry skies, and there was a flaming pot. And this flaming pot and this torch, they're moving around in the covenant. And then 400 years later, Moses helped free the people from Israel. You know the story of Moses, they went across the Red Sea, and then the Red Sea parted, and they ran across. And then Moses one day, they were saying, what are we doing here? We're out here in the wilderness. And Moses went up to Mount Sinai, which is a mountain still to talk about in Israel, in Palestine. And there was a... Moses went up this mountain and he got these tablets with all these commandments. Just like the Ten Commandments, right? We always think of it only as ten, but there's really many, many, many commandments. And so that was a covenant. Moses went up there. And you're not allowed to see, you weren't allowed to see God in those days. I don't know, maybe we're not allowed these days either. And you'd go up there, and he came back, and he was all snowy white. His hair went pure white. His skin was pure white. Even his eyeballs were all white. And then many, many, many years later, the people of Israel wanted a king to protect them from other peoples. And so God made a covenant with David and King David. You've heard of King David, like David and Goliath. And God made a covenant with him. And then many, 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 many years later, they're all stuck there and they're wondering what's going on, and Jesus came along. And Jesus said that he is the new covenant. And instead of all these rules, and not our Orthodox Jewish friends have rules, and that's okay. That's, we don't say they're wrong for having rules. We don't say anybody's wrong for doing something else. But what we're saying is that there's a new covenant. And what Jesus said, they said, what's the most important commandment? And the most important commandment, the greatest commandment of all, to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your body and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what we have to remember to do. If we can love God and love our neighbor, then we think we can really make a better world. That's what we're thinking. That's what we think as Christians. Okay, so that's what it means to be covenant. So covenant is very important. Okay, so we've talked about that. Is there anything you guys want to pray about? Let's pray. Anything? Lego?
Water?
Anything else? Okay. Let's put our hands together and we'll pray together. And we'll say, loving God, we know you love us. We know you love us more than we can understand. And we know that through that love, we find that we are worthy of love, that we're good people, and we're worthy of love. And so we give thanks for all the things that we have. We give thanks for water, which nourishes us, quenches our thirst, allows us to go swimming, which is really fun. We give thanks for Lego, which inspires us with creativity, which is fun to play with, and gives us joy. And we know that joy is part of your love. And we give thanks for all these things in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. I think you're going to go meet up with Hannah back there. I see a lot of people back there, and you're going to go hang out with them. Maybe not all of them. Go ahead, Hannah's back there, trust me.
Hear the story about the covenant between God and Abram, who would later be renamed to Abraham. Abraham is considered the patriarch of the Jewish, Muslim, and Christian people. In a vision, God tells Abraham that he will have many descendants, even though he and his wife Sarah are elderly and childless. When the sun goes down, Abraham falls into a deep sleep and has another vision. In this one, God foretells the 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Then Abram sees a torch and smoking firepot moving before him as God extends the covenant to include not only descendants, but land as well. A reading from the book of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and shall be slaves there, and they shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. John's Gospel is markedly different from the other three Gospels. It has a different structure, different stories, and a different theology. Much of John's Gospel is concerned with declaring that Jesus is the Messiah, which means the Anointed One. That is, Jesus has been declared by God to be the one to deliver the Jewish people. The first part of the passage tells of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, who declares Jesus to be the Lamb of God. In the second part, where Jesus meets Simon, Peter, and Andrew, they declare him to be the Messiah. Both terms mean that Jesus is special, that Jesus is the one. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translates means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. As we reflect on these words from our tradition, may we find wisdom for living.
We are a covenanted people. We are a covenanted people into the myth. We are a covenanted people from beyond our history. From the covenant marked with the sign of the rainbow after the flood, to the covenant with Abram, with flaming pots and a torch moving in front of his eyes on a starry night. From the covenant Moses brought down on tablets from Mount Sinai, white-faced from his encounter with that which cannot be named, to the covenant establishing the kingship of David and the kingdom of Israel, to the new covenant with Jesus the Christ, summed up by love of God and neighbor. We are a covenanted people. Today we are in covenant with Jesus through the United Church of Canada and Living Skies Regional Council. And through our covenants, we commit to loving God and loving neighbor and to caring for those last and least. We might consider Treaty 4 as a covenant our ancestors made with First Nations, which is why we remember it every Sunday. Our First Nation neighbors believe this covenant to be a sacred treaty. And I think it's important for us to do that as well. That's nothing new to remember treaties and Sunday morning gatherings. United Church congregations have always recognized the Treaty of Versailles on the Sunday nearest to November 11th, a treaty that ended the war to end all wars until the next one. Recognizing treaties is part of our culture in the United Church. But it's especially important for us as Canadians to remember the numbered treaties. There are 11 numbered treaties, and you can see them there in purple. And we're on the land covered by Treaty 4. And the numbered treaties are crucial to Canadian history. It's the numbered treaties which allowed the formation of the country that we call Canada. In 1874, Manitoba was the postage stamp province, and west of that was unceded territory. The newly formed country called Canada, established only 7 years prior to the signing of Treaty 4, wanted to expand and saw the prairies as an opportunity to establish farmlands that might become the breadbasket of the world. But in order to do that, treaties were needed for the First Nations, with the First Nations, to bring peace and order so the farms could be established in peace and without fear of attack. So the reason for the number of treaties, including Treaty 4, was to create a peace so that Canada could establish farms that still make up much of our land. And these are farms that many of you grew up on. That is, the farm you grew up on could not have been established if the land was unceded. The farm you grew up on was dependent on the establishment of Treaty 4 and the number of treaties. So if you grew up on a farm, you're exactly what it means to be a treaty person. Now, I grew up in Winnipeg on Treaty 1 lands, but just because I never lived on a farm doesn't make me any less of a treaty person. Winnipeg and my family were dependent on the farming to drive the economy. So if we call ourselves Canadians, we must consider ourselves treaty people. Which is why I always name, when we do it, that Treaty 4 is signed between the Cree Nation, the Saulteaux Nation, and Her Majesty the Queen. It's part of our history of Canada. And it's central to the formation of Canada and is a sacred trust. Now, most of this history is relatively new to me. It's only in the last 10 years or so that I knew anything about the numbered treaties. And it's more recently that I came to understand the importance of them to the formation of Canada. And the reason I came to understand these things is that my Indigenous neighbors began to persistently name them. It's through listening to and being in relationship with our Indigenous neighbors that we came to understand the importance of these treaties and indeed the sacredness that's in them. And as we come to understand the importance of Treaty 4 and the number of treaties, it's also important to remember that we have prospered under the treaties in ways our Indigenous neighbors have not. Now, you can dispute the cause of the suffering, but there can be no doubt of the suffering of our Indigenous neighbors. And again, we're not here to assign blame or impose guilt. Remember, guilt is a sin, and the point of gathering in Jesus' name is not wallowing in our guilt, but to renew our commitment to end the suffering of our neighbor. The suffering of our neighbor is an affront to our covenant as Christians. It doesn't matter who's to blame or what the cause is, although we'll need to figure out causes to come to solutions, but we must be on the side of alleviating that suffering. And that's why we need to worry less about our treaty, making our treaty recognition perfect, and more about how we respond to the suffering of our neighbors. Remember, central to our covenant with Jesus, central to the new covenant, is the greatest commandment, to love God and neighbor, as I told the kids down there. Jesus calls us to unconditional neighbor love. When Simon Peter and Andrew followed Jesus, they were committing to unconditional neighbor love. When we are baptized, we are committing to unconditional neighbor love. When we gather here on Sunday mornings, we are committing to unconditional neighbor love. And any love, but especially neighbor love, requires action. Love cannot be limited to sentimental feeling, even though sentiment and feeling are part of love. But if it's true love, it must include action. And in the case of living into our responsibility as treaty people, this love must include listening to our Indigenous neighbors with openness, trust, and love. We must support the First Nations in their efforts to return to health and wholeness as peoples and as nations. For an example, if you look at the treaties, one of the elements of Treaty 4 is that there should be schools on each reserve. What if we commit to building state-of-the-art schools according to the specifications of the local people, so there could possibly be a center for life on the reserve? There are things that can be done, and I don't have all the answers. I don't really have very many answers. But if we commit to true relationship with First Nations in love, then we might have a chance. And this may mean some sacrifices on our part. We may have to give up some things so that others may prosper. But don't look at this as a burden. Our Orthodox Jewish neighbors don't look at keeping kosher and all the laws they have as a burden. But they look at it as a way to give thanks to God for all that God has provided. And we look at our calling to unconditional labor love, not as a burden, but as an opportunity to live in the love of Jesus the Christ, to live in the love that Jesus promised, that by loving our neighbor in thought and in action, we are entering a oneness with Christ. When we love our neighbor, we are living in the divine. We are experiencing the divine in our very being. And through that love in action, we might actually be part of the healing of the world. And this is good news. Amen. I invite you to rise as you feel comfortable. And
today's Minute for Mission is called Easing Past Ills at Tatamagoosh. It's a beautiful spring day in Nova Scotia, and at Tatamagoosh Center, people are scrambling through the underbrush looking for special plants, plants to settle a tummy ache or a headache, or plants to ease many of life's daily ills. Under the careful watch of Judy Bernard Gugu, a Mi'kmaq leader, everyone is learning a few words of the basics from centuries of Mi'kmaq traditional healing. Judy learned it from her mother, as did her mother before her. Now Judy wants to share her knowledge with others. We are all one people, she says. At Tatamagoosh, mending the divide between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people is a high priority. By openly sharing their traditions and learning together about the plants and herbs that are the basis of traditional Mi'kmaq healing, they will build bridges of understanding and create a window into Mi'kmaq culture. Everything is done with respect. You have to respect the plant, take only what you need, and always give thanks to the Creator for providing these healing medicines, explains Judy. You have to be careful. There are lots of plants that can hurt you. It's like going to the drugstore. You have to make sure you choose the right medicine. That's the knowledge I have that I want to share. Your gifts to mission and service help support programs at education centers that bring people in communities together to learn. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Hey, everyone. Green Parenting is back. So we had our three events last fall, and I think they were really interesting. We'd be happy to have more people coming out. You should keep in mind that even though this is called Green Parenting and we kind of thought of it as a way to help parents who are, you know, very concerned about the environment kind of gradually make changes to their lifestyles, I would say that probably the attendees are like partly parents of young kids, but many are not parents at all, or maybe their kids are all grown up. So please don't feel that not being a parent somehow excludes you. So our next event is Tuesday, January 28th at 7:30 in the evening. And this one is called Minimizing Single-Use Plastics. So I think there's a lot of non-parenting related info there. We're going to have an engineer speaking to us about some of the environmental concerns with plastic. One of the ladies who's speaking is someone who's just been gradually making changes to her own habits to like basically eliminate plastic use in it. So it's just kind of an interesting, relatable kind of a speaker, and just help us see how we can make some of those changes in our own lives. And then we've got a local business owner from Mortis and Tenon coming to talk about some plastic alternative products. I think that's everything. So we do serve coffee and tea, and there's a free will offering. And if you have any questions, you can talk to either me or Naomi Beingessner, or I'll put up some posters around. So there's an email address on there as well. Okay. Thanks.
Good morning. Next Sunday after church, we have a newcomers luncheon. And at the newcomers luncheon, the whole congregation is invited to stay, bring a dish, bring your cutlery and bring your dishes. And we will have some fellowship. If you are a newcomer, you don't need to bring a dish or a dessert. You just need to come, but we need to have a count on the number of newcomers that will be coming. So if you're new, you're in the congregation this morning and haven't received an invite, please find me after church and we'll look after that.
Good morning. So after a few, I want to say months of the book club not being up and running, we're going to start it once again this month. So the book that has been chosen is All We Leave Behind by Carol Off. So it's about a journalist who is assigned to Afghanistan, where she then meets a man that lives there and learns about his experience with tyranny, but also his experience with the Americans and also NATO. So if you guys are interested, you can definitely pick up a copy with me in my office, which is just the one to the left of the main desk in there. Or if you want to supply your own copy, do that too, because I have limited number of books. And then you will meet on a day in February that will be picked once I know the schedules of some of the people. And yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to give me an ask or send me an email. I'll be around. Thanks.
I've read it. It's a good book. Cindy mentioning our Jewish neighbors reminded me that if you didn't already know, today is World Religions Day. As usual, it's being hosted at Beth Jacob on McTavish. You have brief presentations, usually a prayer and a reading from a wide variety of faith groups. It's really interesting, well worth going to, and there's coffee and snacks after.
And I have one last announcement that at 4 p.m. on January 19th, I think that's today, you can join the Halcyon Chamber Choir at Knox Metropolitan United Church for a sing-along performance of Handel's Messiah. You can bring your own score and sing along, or you can just sit back and enjoy. So, admission is by donation, and all proceeds will go to Carmichael Outreach, so it's for a good cause. So if you want to go sing or hear Messiah, you can go do that today. And since there's no more announcements, I think we should pray. And as the Apostle Paul tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Let us pray. Holy Many One, Flux of Love, we give thanks for all our relations, for all of creation, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. Even the rocks cry out, giving thanks for all of life. We give thanks for the farmers who bring in the harvest and the migrant workers working the land. We give thanks for everything that we bring to our table. We give thanks for the sun and the wind and the rain and even the snow. May we live in respect with creation, such that our children will survive for unknown generations. For all of life, we give thanks. We pray for all in need by reason of famine, flood, earthquake, or political strife. We pray for the people in Australia dealing with the wildfires. We pray for peace and justice in Hong Kong. We pray for peace and justice in Ethiopia. We pray for peace and justice in Iran. We pray for peace, justice, and love in the United States. We pray for all children separated from their families. For all of life, we give thanks. We pray for whom the world counts as last and least. For Indigenous women and their strength and vulnerability, including the missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit women and their families, as we ache for reconciliation. We pray for those most open to violence, for refugees, for trans women of color, for prisoners, for all street-involved people in Regina and around the world. For all of life, we give thanks. We pray for all who suffer the pain of sickness, depression, loneliness, fear, or loss. We pray that those whose names are in our hearts, in the hearts of others, or known to you alone, may receive strength and courage. We pray for those in need. For all of life, we give thanks. We thank you, Holy Mystery, which is holy love, that you do hear our prayers. And we give thanks for your grace, that we might be part of the healing of the world. Amen. After the offering has been collected, we will sing the words, which of course will be displayed on the screens. As we come to present our offerings at this table, we remember God's generous hospitality. Our calling is to feed those dismissed from the world's tables, that they may no longer feel hungry or alone. The offering is received. God of all people and God of all places, we present these offerings, that they may be used to extend your liberating life of love. With them, we offer our varied ministries, that each of us may be part of your answer to the cries of the world.